Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Welcome to episode 38 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life. Oh boy, today we're going to be talking about how to eat healthfully without all those addictive foods. Yuck! All right, before we dive into that, more ways than one, I just want to make sure you know this episode of Her is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so good. To learn more, please go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate this podcast and review. Please, I read all those. I love the feedback. Rock on. Okay. It's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Non-addictive healthy eating. Is it humanly possible or is it mission impossible? We have with us the one and only Chef AJ, who's going to say, yeah, of course it's possible, because I wrote the book, Unprocessed, How to Achieve Vibrant Health and Your Ideal Weight. Chef AJ has been devoted to a plant-based diet for almost 40 years, and she's only 41 years old. It's amazing. She is the host of the television series Healthy Living with Chef AJ, which airs on Foodie TV. With her comedy background, she has made appearances on The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, David Letterman, blah, blah, and it goes on and on and on. Oh my gosh. And she's the author of the popular book that I just mentioned, Unprocessed, How to Achieve Vibrant Health and Your Ideal Weight. And AJ and I work together. We just complement most of what we do. You know, when I wrote The Hunger Fix, which is sort of the science and the overarching program on what's going on with food addiction and addictive eating, you know what you need? You need to have someone like Chef AJ sitting there saying, okay, so if that's true, this is a call to arms, legs, and everybody in the kitchen to be able to make this practical. So, Chef AJ, welcome to Her podcast.
Well, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here. I love you so much. I love your work. And I do think we complement each other. You're the peanut butter to my jelly.
Oh, boy. Oh, no, no, not that jelly. Just kidding. All right. So, Chef AJ, tell us the difference between processed foods and unprocessed foods.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Processed foods are manufactured in a plant. Unprocessed foods come from a plant. So that's the biggest difference. Processed foods come in a can, a box, a bottle, or in a bag. They're not found in nature. Unprocessed foods come in the package they were grown in, and they're found in nature. And unprocessed foods are what our ancestors ate throughout all of human history and what is still eaten parts of the world today that are not suffering from the same diseases as Americans. And processed food is, it's not food. It's food-like, it's delicious, it's easily affordable and readily available and socially acceptable, but it's addictive. It's not really food. It's really more like a drug.
Oh, there's no question about it. And, you know, again, yeah. You and I tag team on this one because, you know, speaking of which, the grand majority of those foods in recent research has shown that the foods that are most addictive are those foods that are refined and processed. You know, like I always love to say, I don't know anyone who's an apple head, you know, like, oh, I'm doing apples, you know, in the closet, you know, oh my God, I had one apple. I have to have 85 more. I'm going out and scoring apples. No, our brains weren't really geared for this processed refined stuff because it takes our reward center, especially in vulnerable brains, into an uber state of overstimulation. And then, of course, you get all of the fallout of tolerance and wanting more and more of the stuff. And before you know it, you really do feel hooked. So here's the question, you know, for you, Chef AJ. Mm-hmm. How does someone begin to turn this around? And in keeping in mind that there's a spectrum of behaviors that are related to addictive-like eating, and that is, you know, some people really have a horrible problem with it, like a big-time problem, and others have, you know, it's not killing them, but it's bugging them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so understanding that that's the issue, and that's a huge difference between that food and food products and drugs, because with drugs, it's either you're on, you're off. Right? That's
right.
It. Those
right.
are the two options you have. Whereas with food, it's mishy-mashy. It gets a little bit more complex.
Mm-hmm.
And people oftentimes don't want to get too draconian about, you know, measuring every single square foot of whatever they're going to eat and back and forth. So how someone to start looking at processed foods and looking at something like a Twinkie or something and then saying, what do I have instead of that?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things is people can make their favorite foods in a healthier manner. It's absolutely possible, whether they get my book or another book, but they have to be willing to make it because you're really not going to find it out there for you. Because, you know, the processed food industry, you're probably familiar with Dr. David Kessler and his book, The End of Overeating, and Michael Moss's book, Salt, Sugar, and Fat, How the Food Giants Hooked Us. They talk about the history of the processed food industry. It's an industry. They purposely created these hyperpalatable products to create this bliss point in our brain that will addict most of us to their foods. And whether we're overweight or not, they're still not really healthy foods. So we got to get people back to just the idea of just eating real food, sitting down with their family, cooking food, at least, you know, one meal a day. Some people are on the what I call the window diet, where they literally go to the drive-thru three times a day. And because these foods are so addictive, they make the delicious foods that you and I eat maybe taste less pleasurable at first. So if we could just find ways to get some produce in people, whether that's like a green smoothie in the morning or some delicious way to get them eating more fruits and vegetables, I think that's a really good first step.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, from your book, which is just wonderful, again, I would just call it the unprocessed book. Give us some examples. How can we do this? Because I know out there in her podcast land, women are like, what? Oh,
well,
I don't want to have to live in the kitchen. Don't make me do that.
Honestly, though, but think about it. You know, I mean, you can get a blender and you don't have to get a $400 Vitamix. You can. They're great if you can. But you can get a $20 blender at Bed Bath & Beyond. And you can put in a little non-dairy milk and some frozen blueberries and a frozen banana and a handful of spinach and maybe some flax seeds or for your omega-3 fatty acids. And you push blend and it's delicious. And that doesn't take very long, you know, as long as you have the ingredients in your house. And if you're really that lazy or don't have that much time, put the ingredients in the blender the night before. And I mean, that's one of the quickest breakfasts that you can make that in less time than going through the drive-thru, you know what I'm saying? So that's a really, really easy thing to do. Now, one of the things that I recommend to everyone is to get something called a pressure cooker. I happen to like the Instant Pot, but any pressure cooker will do. I can get healthy meals on the table within 10 minutes because I'm cooking beans in 10 minutes and steel cut oats in 5 minutes. So these are time savers and they're actually money savers too, because think about it. You know, when you eat real food, like, you know, whole grains and legumes and potatoes and rice and beans, these foods are not expensive. They really aren't. And you actually save money also when you eat more healthily than when you eat, you know, restaurant food and processed food. You save time and they are delicious. You know, I mean, let's put it this way. How many people don't like a sweet potato, right? I mean, so that's a great way to start. You know, you can even microwave one in 6 minutes. You can even go to a store like Trader Joe's, which I happen to live next door to. They have it already cooked. I mean, it's a plain sweet potato, but it's cooked. I mean, how hard is that, you know? So healthy foods are available. You just have to look for them. They don't have the same kind of shelf space as the Oreos and the Twinkies, like you're saying, you know, because they don't have the same kind of budget. You know, there's no money in kale, I always say.
There's no money in kale. I love it. You know, you used to be the executive pastry chef at Sante Restaurant in Los Angeles, and you were famous for your sugar, oil, salt, and gluten-free desserts, which use the fruit, the whole fruit, nothing but the whole fruit.
Absolutely.
I just love that. So sweetening with fruit. Tell us how you do that.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, so dates are a whole natural food. They're about 70% sugar. So if somebody was a type 1 diabetic, I don't recommend them freebasing on dates. But for the rest of us, there's still a more favorable sweetener because they're a whole food, which means they not only have fiber and water, but vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals and antioxidants and micronutrients. Plus, they're nature's candy. They're delicious. And anything anybody else can do with sugar or honey or agave or maple syrup or barley malt or molasses, I can do with dates because you can puree them into a smooth, thick paste for date paste. You can boil them into a thick, luscious syrup. You can dehydrate them and make date sugar. And yeah, I mean, they're still sweet, but they're amazing. And they don't give you that same addictive kind of eating that eating, say, you know, real sugar and white flour kind of does. And so there's about 40 dessert recipes in unprocessed, many that we made at the restaurant. And, you know, they work wonderfully and they are a whole food and they're good for you. And they've got all kinds of minerals. And nobody knows that my desserts don't have sugar. Nobody knew they were plant-based. Nobody knew they didn't have oil. They just knew they were good. Because I use real food, and on some level, I think people recognize, like, their bodies. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with this, Dr. Peek, but there was a graduate student, and she did this piece on the Huffington Post, where it was, the title is funny, it's called From Mouth to Anus, where she had volunteers swallow these little cameras that showed digestion from the mouth all the way till it exited, and she fed them, like, real food, and then she fed them, like, what college students eat, like ramen noodles and Gatorade, and the people that ate the processed food, it's like the human body didn't even recognize it. It's like it turned green. And it was just amazing that even though maybe somebody could eat processed food and not be sick or overweight, it's still not good. It's just not food. And we just have to really embrace what Jack LaLanne, one of my heroes, said over 80 years ago, that if God made it, eat it. If man made it, don't eat it. And the only good thing about processed food is the box it comes in, because that's where all the fiber is.
I love it. I love it. So do you also sweeten with fruit? So tell us about fruit.
Oh,
that,
any kind of
you know,
fruit.
How do you do that?
Sure. Okay. So first of all, you know, well, dates, of course, would be the absolute sweetest. But figs are incredibly sweet. And, you know, when you roast fruit, believe it or not, it brings out the sweetness. So to give you an example, pears. Well, pears are delicious anyway, and they're sweet. But you know what happens when you roast it? Just like when you roast a vegetable, it caramelizes. It brings out all the natural sugars. And then you can make it even more sweet. So I've got recipes. Like, we have a mutual friend, Dr. McDougall. He's published some of my recipes on his newsletter. I have one called The World's Healthiest Apple Pie. And guess what it's made from? Apples. You know, and I use a little... I mean, because when you think about what's in a fast food apple pie, it's, you know, words you can't pronounce and chemicals. But the thing is you can use a combination of fresh fruit and a little bit of dry fruit for sweetness. You know, you could take dry, like, for instance, people that have coffee or tea and they won't drink it without sweetener. Well, of course, a date will not sweeten your coffee, but guess what happens when you soak dates or raisins? That water, that soap water, is now sweet. You can make your coffee and tea out of that. So there's so many ways to satisfy your sweet tooth without sugar. I mean, page 170 in my book, my peanut butter fudge truffles, they're to die for. There's like three ingredients, peanuts, dates, and cocoa powder. And real people will eat, regular people or whatever you want to call it, people that are addicted to sugar like these, because it's sort of like, you know, dates are like methadone, because I don't recommend that people just eat pounds and pounds of dates, but they are very useful for getting people off, you know, the white powder that we know of as sugar. And they're very satisfying. And, you know, here's the other thing. You know, when you eat these addictive foods, even if you're not overweight, you are driven to keep eating them. Like you talked about the reward center in the brain. But when you eat a nice size piece of one of my desserts, which may be rich from the dates and the nuts, your body, your brain recognizes the fiber and the water and the nutrients, and you don't eat as much when you're eating real food. You just don't, because you're satisfied, because your body has sensed that it's actually been fed with some nutrients. You know, processed food is so devoid of nutrients that you have no choice but to overeat on it, because you're never going to activate those nutrient receptors in your stomach. So it's, you know, it's just enough food. You know, you're a medical doctor, and I'm sure you have hospital privileges here and there. And once a week, I volunteer at my local hospital doing pet therapy with my dog, Bailey. And when I go to the parking lot, before I get in the hospital, there's two vending machines, all with processed food, with ice cream and candies and Red Bull. And I'm thinking, this is a hospital. Why is there a vending machine in the parking lot? And I'd understand if it was in the cafeteria, but we're bombarded every single second of every day with these cues at the pet store, at the hardware store. It's almost impossible to avoid it unless you stay in your house.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, if you want the most unhealthy food on the planet, just, you know, get sick and go to a hospital. Oh, my God. Or visit someone at the hospital and make the big mistake of saying, hey, let's eat in the cafeteria. Wrong answer. You know, that was no. It's all bad. But you're right. You know, the key thing here that I think you and I have talked about so many times in the past is that it's a battlefield out there. It really is. I mean, our environment is obesogenic. Our environment is basically, you know, conducive to people eating refined and processed foods because they are ubiquitous. They are everywhere. They are in your hospitals. They are in your medical centers. They are, you know, they're in your schools. They're everywhere. And so, you know, to a certain degree, some people just cave to the crave because they say, you know, I just give up. I mean, I'm surrounded by this stuff.
It's very hard.
Picking up your book and sitting down and taking just 5 minutes strategizing, what do you need to be able to make, and it's not that much, to be able to be armed and dangerous, locked and loaded with your own food so that no matter where you are, you can do your thing. So give us some examples. Let's start from the beginning of the day. Okay. We're going to start in a typical American's crazy ass, you know, life. Right. And, you know, it's grab and go, dashboard dining, skipping meals, whatever. Right. And so give us your rendition of a really great non-addictive eating day with whole food. Let's start with the first meal of the day and rock on all the way through.
Sure. So one of the easiest things for people to do, especially if they don't eat a lot of fruits and vegetables and they're trying to incorporate more of them in their diet, is, like I say, a green smoothie. And at first it might sound kind of gross because it's green, but guess what? You put a tablespoon of cocoa powder in, things, you're done. It's chocolate smoothie now that just happens to have spinach in it. So that's one way to start, and kids will drink them. It's easy because it's portable, because if you're in a hurry, guess what? You have it in the car, and you can be drinking it on the way to work or school or wherever. So that's a great way to do. Oatmeal is another great breakfast, and it doesn't have to be even cooked. You know, rolled oats are actually steamed. So you can make what I call overnight muesli. You don't even have to make it overnight, where you take a half a cup or a cup of oats, however much you eat, and you put in some fruit, whether it's a banana or an apple or a pear, and maybe some raisins or currants and some chia seeds and a splash of almond milk, and you've got like this delicious pudding, and it's really, really sweet. It's, you know, you don't have to have a Cinnabon or a donut in the morning. You know, you can have something sweet that doesn't have to have sugar or flour or any kind of, you know, refined carbohydrates or food in it. So those are two good, very, very quick breakfasts. And you can make up several days in advance, not so much the smoothie, but this overnight muesli recipe I have, I'll make 3 or 4 days in advance, and then you can eat it cold or room temperature. If you use a microwave, you can microwave it. So these are good foods that are satiating, that'll keep your belly nice and full and happy till lunchtime. So usually for lunch, what I recommend is whatever you had for dinner the night before. So we tend to make like soup. Like last night, after we got off our webinar, we had our creamy curried kabocha squash soup over brown rice, which we made in the Instant Pot, and there's leftover. So guess what? They went to work with my husband for lunch, and when we get off this call, I'm going to have the leftovers. So that can be great, you know, leftovers. And, you know, there are places now, at least I live in LA, and there's places now that are having healthier choices, like salad bar restaurants, where it's not just a salad bar, but where you can get like good stuff, like, you know, cooked quinoa and cooked wild rice and all kinds of different offerings that you can actually make a salad that's actually a meal, that's not just lettuce and tomatoes. So I know there's these places everywhere. I know you have them in Washington, D.C. Sometimes they're called places like Sweet Greens, but they're salad bars, but they're restaurants at the same time. And you're not serving yourself. You're choosing these things. So for people to eat out, that's always a great option. And dinner, you know, whatever you like, you know, soup, stew, chili, potatoes, rice, you know, food, just food. The recipe on page 100 in my book, if you have time, the lasagna is one of the best recipes in the book. And what's great is leftovers. I love leftovers. You know, you can freeze some of the leftovers so that you always have a healthy meal. And I agree with you, Dr. Peak. If we aren't responsible for our food and don't make it or take it with us, we are going to have to default to what's available, which is generally not very healthy. And so if you want to feel and look your best, you know, you got to eat real food like your grandma did. You know, if your grandma wouldn't eat it, don't eat it. That's what I say.
Well, I love it. I think one of the most important takeaways here is that you don't have to turn yourself into some kind of nutcase running around and being like a, you know, a health freak or something. And that this is completely, absolutely doable. You can do this. It's practical. And plus, it's safe. You know, now, what do you do when you go to a restaurant? You know, a lot of people out there are kind of stuck, you know, at a business dinner or, you know.
Yes. So I do a couple of things. One of the things I do is I try to know where I'm going in advance. So in other words, like wherever the group's going, I try to find out as early as I can because I like to look it up online. Because if a restaurant has more than three locations, I believe it is, they have to have their nutritional information online. So I will scour the menu. And what I like to do is sort of one from column A, one from column B. So if I don't see what I like or need on the menu, I will often call the restaurant during non-peak hours when they're not busy. And I'll be very nice. I'll say, hey, you know, I'm sorry to bother you, but I heard such great things about your restaurant, but I'm on a special diet. Can you do X, Y, Z? And 9 times out of 10, restaurants do want your business and they will do it. And, you know, if there's absolutely nothing I can eat, I might pre-eat so that I'm not starving when I get there and just order, you know, whatever the healthiest thing is or something like that. I generally bring my own discreet little salad dressing in my purse because there's certain things that just, you know, it's also when you're a chef, you know, it's like sometimes you're a little bit picky because the food is just not as good. But restaurants can be difficult, but, you know, ethnic restaurants are generally like the best because you usually can find something healthy in an ethnic restaurant, whether it's steamed vegetables or brown rice or, you know, I'm talking like a fast food restaurant. I don't think there'd be anything I could find, but most restaurants you can find something, you know. And also what I've noticed is if I don't see it, I ask them, and if it's healthy and it sells, they'll keep it on the menu. So you sometimes have to champion the change you want to see in your neighborhood and get, you know, I work with a restaurant here called Sharky's. It's a fast food Mexican restaurant. And now we've got an AJ burrito on the menu, which, you know, is delicious. It's a whole wheat tortilla with brown rice and broccoli and pinto beans and guacamole and salsa. And it's yummy. And I got that done just by, you know, saying, hey, come on, you got to have healthy stuff. And if people will eat it, they'll sell it. So restaurants can be a little challenging. But what I say to people, unless you're eating all your meals out, you might have indiscretions at times. But that's why it's so important to eat healthy at home. At least don't have your home be the battlefield. You know, and if you're going to eat something unhealthy, don't eat it in your house, you know, because if it's in your house, it's in your mouth. And I believe that your environment is going to be the number one predictor of your success in any dietary or lifestyle program. So just like an alcoholic would not keep alcohol in their house, if a food is a problem for you, I'm not telling you never to eat it, but don't eat it in your house. You know, make yourself go out for it if you have to have it. So the truth is if healthy food is available, most people will eat it. And that's why now you can buy things cut up. I mean, you can even buy apples already cut up if you're too lazy to cut one. And, you know, kids love things that are cut up. Kids will eat finger foods like baby carrots and cut up apples, and you can dip them in hummus and things like that. I think part of the problem is because this processed food is so addictive and it's hijacked the reward center of our brain, these healthy foods at first don't taste so good to people. And I think that if you can make maybe like a little challenge for yourself where you just say, you don't say, I'm never going to eat this again, but maybe say, you know, for 21 or 30 days, just like people do for Lent, say, you know, I'm just going to do an experiment. I'm going to see if I can go 21 or 30 days without whether it's sugar or whatever. I think that can really help a person neuroadapt so that they can really appreciate the taste of whole natural food, because when you're not so junked up on your tongue and your taste buds and your brain with all that fake stuff, you know, an apple can taste amazing. I mean, lettuce can taste amazing. You can start tasting food again. So I think, you know, the more healthy stuff you put in is great. So start with adding. So instead of saying, oh, I can never have sugar again, no, why don't you just say, you know, my goal is to eat more fresh fruits and vegetables every day. And that's why starting with a green smoothie, it's a double whammy, because you got the fruits and you got the vegetables and you're starting your day without sugar or caffeine or, you know, refined flour. And it can give you a nice little buzz just the way that a cup of coffee can. So, you know,
I love this. Completely love this. You know, what you're really proving to us here, Chef AJ, is that there are countless options here. there's no reason to feel helpless, hopeless, and defeated about, you know, switching out and beginning to eat more healthfully. And when it's delicious and tasty and you could still have that natural sweetness instead of that other stuff, the refined and processed foods, which mess with your head. So to heck with all that. So everyone out there in Herb Podcast Land, we've been talking to Chef AJ, and she is the author of Unprocessed, How to Achieve Vibrant Health and Your Ideal Weight. Please run on over to her website, which is eatunprocessed.com, and follow her. Oh my goodness, she's multimedia. She's all over the flipping place. She's got a YouTube cooking show, The Chef and the Dietitian. She's a creator of Healthy Taste of LA, because she's LA-based, to say the least, and she's host of the television series Healthy Living with Chef AJ, which airs on Foodie TV. Chef AJ, thank you, thank you, and more thank you. You did a phenomenal job, and I can't tell you how busy all of our Herd Podcast listeners have been, writing down every single thing that you said. Oh, gosh, I get their fingers are just falling off. But it's super important. Thank you for being on the Herd Podcast. Can't wait to have you on again. And hey, everyone out there, remember to catch every episode of Herd. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes, because we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And that happens when you take time to rate it and also leave us a review. Because guess what? I read those things. I love reading those things. It's called feedback. All right, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. You could also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.